Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Program is Do Go On, a podcast with myself, Dave Warnocky. I'm here with Mr. Matt Stewart.
Hi, Dave. How are you going?
I am going well. Thank you, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hey, I'd really like to welcome to the program.
Oh, someone else.
Someone else,
yeah. Oh, we've got a third person. The table's so long, I can't see her down the other end. Who is it, Matt?
Well, you knew it was a her, which is some... What? And... Okay, look.
Oh, for God's sake.
Hey, Jess, how's it going?
Hi.
Jess Perkins.
It's Jess Perkins, everyone.
Hi, Matt and
what
Dave.
What a surprise, considering that we do this every week with the same exact three people.
I was going to say, we're like, I'm here every week. But, look at here.
And how are you feeling this week?
Fine. A-okay.
That is not true. You are very hungover for the second day.
Yes.
It's a day two hangover, which is...
It's not good. I feel okay now. It's just my stomach's a little bit like, ugh.
Would you say it's the worst hangover you've ever had?
I think so.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Like, I couldn't get out of bed yesterday. I didn't get out of bed.
Wow, that's great.
I was throwing up every half hour.
No, that's not great. It's great that you've only had hangovers this bad, that like second day you can get out of bed. That's pretty good.
How bad have you had it, Matt?
Oh, I've had multi-week hangovers.
Ooh. Multi-week?
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks of
hangovers? No, hang on. No, Dave, let's not get crazy.
Well, I was surprised. Two weeks.
That's a very long time.
Two weeks is crazy.
I think that's more like alcohol poisoning rather than just a hangover.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Wrong competition.
No, but I mean, like, it shouldn't stick around that long.
No, yeah. I definitely did something bad to myself.
Oh, boy.
But it was also, I think the problem was that I wasn't, it was a night of drinking. So I was in England and I went to this bar and I said, a bit jet lag, need a bit of energy. And I was there with a mate. I said, can I get 2 vodka Red Bulls, please? Oh. And they said... double vodka Red Bulls are cheaper. I said, okay, make it 4 double vodka Red Bulls.
So they've doubled it and then you've doubled again.
Yeah, I don't know what the logic was. I'm like, this makes sense because it's cheaper. It'll be silly not to.
So suddenly it's 8 for the price of 2.
And then, and that sort of started a bad thing where like every shout we did that. 4 double vodka Red Bulls.
Every shout, it doubled.
Yeah, we just drank it all night. So I think it was probably part alcohol poisoning, in part caffeine.
Absolutely.
And sugar poisoning. It was I don't think I've had a Red Bull since. It's energy drinks are
they're the devil.
Great.
They are the devil.
Yeah, unless they come on as a sponsor.
Then please, brought to you by Monster.
Yeah.
What a delicious
I'm
drop.
I'm willing to sell everything for money.
I will exchange goods and services for cash.
Yeah.
A little unorthodox, I know, but that's how I roll.
I'm doing it, starting a new economy. Well, on the show, we'd like to talk about something, or one of us prepares a report to sort of engage the others in a bit of a lesson on something. And Matt, it is your turn. I'm glad you're not hungover, because you're the one who's researched something.
I'm tip-top. Tip-top, fighting fit. Although I'm a little bit tired from cramming some research last night. Anyway, most of it's already in my head because I'm a big fan of this thing. We normally start with a question, right? Mm-hmm. So my question to you, I haven't thought of it yet. I'm just
on the fly.
Padding here a little bit as I think. Okay, so what would you guys say? I know we're big fans of triptychs here.
Oh, yeah. So triptych, if you haven't heard the first episode, is where there's a piece of artwork over 3 panels that go together.
And I see this as a piece of artwork that goes over over three panels.
Okay.
What is your... What
you're being cryptic with your triptych.
Warnocky.
Thank you.
What would you guys say is the best movie trilogy of all time?
Best movie trilogy.
Okay, well, one of my favorite movies ever is Terminator 2. Terminator 1 is also very good, but Terminator 3 sucks. But
and they've pushed through to like 4 and 5 now, haven't they?
I don't know, but if we're looking at 3, maybe Terminator 2 is good enough to make the other two.
What about Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. That's quite. I mean, if you like that sort of shit.
I'm just thinking it's quite. Like, it's very popular.
It is pretty popular.
The Godfather.
Godfather's
pretty. That's a good one. I like that.
No, people always talk about number 3 being.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen the third one.
There was a bit of incest in that, which is also a theme in this trilogy.
What?
Oh, in the trilogy that you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay, incest trilogy. Oh, is it like some sort of weird pornographic trilogy?
No.
What other? Star Wars?
Star Wars does have some incest in it.
Yeah, and it's like double trilogy.
But that's not it. Man, there's a lot of incest around that I hadn't...
Rocky?
I mean, it's light incest.
A bit of light incest. Yeah. What's a bit of light incest amongst siblings?
I'm sure listeners would have already got it because it'll be in the title.
Ah, yes.
Oh, right. I thought you were just going to say
But also, I reckon they would have got it. This is a famous trilogy.
Jurassic Park.
Very, very big time this year in 2015 as well. Very relevant.
What? The incest part or the film part?
No, the film part. Oh, this, I feel like...
This is hard. Okay, just tell us.
Back to the Future.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a trilogy, you know, in the first movie.
Yep.
Marty goes back and his mum falls in love with him.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen Back to the Future.
Oh, fuck off.
What?
Fuck off and die.
Fuck off and die.
I feel like I've seen it, but I can't remember any sort of details of the movies. Do you know when you see a movie when you're a kid and then you're I have seen that, but I can't really, a lot of Disney films, I'm like that. I'm like, yeah, I've definitely seen Pocahontas, but I haven't seen it in the last 20 years. So
yeah,
I can't
really
tell you much other than the main characters' names.
I have seen Back to the Future, but not for a long time. So I'm going to remember bits.
That's great. Well, I've seen all three this week, so I have been working hard.
Please tell me that this podcast is just you recapping and reenacting the whole trilogy.
Well, I wasn't going to go through the story much at all. I was thinking you guys would all be familiar with it, but do you need any sort of recap on the story?
Can we have a quick recap, just in case there are other listeners out there that have not seen it for
a
20
long time.
Years as well?
20 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, so Marty McFly.
Great name, isn't it?
Played by...
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. He sort of befriends this scientist guy. That happens before the movie. So they're kind of mates, this older mad scientist kind of character called Doc Brown. And he's invented a time machine, right?
I had a lecturer that looked exactly like him, and it was hard not to think about his crazy hair. But continue.
Played by Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, my professor.
Yeah, great. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Professor Christopher Lloyd.
And that somehow he reminded you of Christopher Lloyd. Makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely checks out. It checks out.
So they're testing out this time machine. Doc Brown gets his dog Einstein to test it out, sends him a minute in the future, and that works. And then...
A bit of animal cruelty there, though.
Yeah.
Well, no, the dog's all good. Apparently, the first time they screened it, the preview things, the audience like audibly gasped when they sent the dog, and they thought the dog was going to die. But yeah, so that's interesting. That was your instinct as well.
Yeah.
And then, well, it's kind of like what we were talking about in a recent week about sending a man into space.
Yeah.
They sent dogs out first. I think.
Yeah,
but the difference here is that
was real life, and Back to the Future is clearly a movie. So even if the dog died, you're like, well, he's probably fine.
Yeah. The
but
character
in real life,
died.
Russia sent a dog into space, and it died. So.
Oh.
Yeah, America sent humans into space, and they died. So, you know. I don't know what I'm... What is,
eventually, we all die.
There? Well, the humans made the choice. I think that's the difference. Anyway, like, we're not here... Are we here to talk about animal rights?
No. I'm sorry that I brought it up.
No, I think
it's just always on the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, me too. Be good to the animals.
Be good to everyone. Just everyone be good to each other.
The animals,
yeah.
Be good to animals.
So he tests it out. The dog makes it through successfully. And then, so to power it, he's had to, Doc Brown's had to source some uranium. And he's done so by...
From Uranus? No.
He's done so by getting getting in contact with some Libyan terrorists who think that he's going to make a bomb for them.
Okay, right. So let's talk about the ethics of that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty...
I don't remember that bit.
And then, so he's like, yeah, they're cool. They think I'm making a bomb, but, by the time they figure it out, I'm going to be in a different time or whatever. But he...
confidence in
yourself. I'm going to be 1 minute in the future, baby.
So there...
I'll always be 1 minute ahead. Yeah.
The Libyans don't exist in a minute's time.
Good luck catching me now, bad guys.
Yeah, I'll see you in 60 seconds.
Oh, no, that just means I die quicker. Like, for him, it's instantaneous anyway. That's...
So anyway, so he's got the uranium. He's got the uranium, the Libyans,
and they've tested it and it's worked. And then, so he's like, "Cool, I'm going to do it." He's got Marty there to document it. He's filming it on the camcorder. But then a combi van full of Libyan terrorists bursts into the car park.
Combi van, the vehicle to the Libyan stars.
And a guy's out the sunroof just starts shooting at him.
Sure.
Is this still in America though? Not in Libya.
This is in America. This is in California. It's all set. So the time machine is a DeLorean. You'd be familiar with that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Know that. The car.
The car, because it's got the gull-winged doors. Yep. That's why they chose it, because it, when he travels back, it was more believable that the farmers would think it was a spaceship if it was just a normal car, I guess. I mean, even a modern car would still look pretty...
Not my car. Not
spacey
my,
to...
You take
no,
my...
To the farmer? To a 1955 farmer?
2006 Holden Viva.
Yeah, no, you're
still
right.
Still probably only get... $500 for it in 90s. Oh, that's probably quite good in the
90s. Yeah, that's not bad. Maybe we'll figure that out. So the car has to get up to 88 miles per hour for it to work as well for some reason. That's the speed of light. That's the
speed
of time travel.
So when those guys went into space on our last episode, they've really broken that barrier when they were going 10,000 miles per hour.
But there was other things at play. They also needed that technology that he'd created, and the nuclear power. So
they take off.
So the Libyans have come in. They open up fire on Doc and Marty. Doc is killed, and there's a lot of spoiler alerts here. Obviously, if you're going to watch a 1985 movie,
I think it's much more entertaining to hear you tell us.
Yeah, oh, I can bring the drama and the comedy.
Oh, it's amazing.
And so Marty sees Doc die. And they come for him. They take a shot at Marty, but the gun jams.
Classic.
Which is really lucky.
Classic
really,
Libyans.
Really lucky. A bit racist. And then,
well, do you know, a lot of their planes in Libyan airline are banned at most airports around the world because a lot of them don't have lights.
Oh,
the planes. There you go.
Classic Libyans.
But what do you need them for? Just fly during the day.
Fly during the day, guys. It's fine. Like, if you're in the desert. Where most of Libya is. It's like, there's a lot of sunshine most of the time. It's fine.
Fine. Bloody rules at airports.
I hate these rules around airplanes.
Killjoys.
Was Libya where Bart Simpson, you know, when the school UN round table that they did a little reenactment of in an early Simpsons episode?
Yeah.
I think Bart was representing Libya.
He was
shuffling his blank sheets of paper saying, the key export from Libya is maize. Is that a real memory? I might have made that up.
Totally think, yeah. And is that the Lord of the Flies episode?
Yeah, it could have been.
And they're all,
yeah,
and then the model UN and Martin Prince is doing the do, like that's the song of the UN, and they're like, Martin, it's not the time.
Yeah, I think it is all the same, isn't it?
That's that episode.
I'm we should sure try and reference The Simpsons every episode. I'm sure we do anyway. Nazis and The Simpsons.
And The Simpsons. Well, okay, well, back to the future.
So Marty escapes, luckily, from that Libyan gunshot because it jams. He jumps into the DeLorean to try and get away. The date that Doc had put in as an example was October 1955. So that's on the dash there. Marty gets in trying to drive away. The combi vans follow him around the car park. He gets up a bit of speed, hits 88 miles an hour.
In a car park.
In the car park. And, lands in a farm in 1955.
And Doc's fine.
And Doc's dead.
Doc's still dead.
But in 1955, Doc is alive. So, am I going to go through the whole storyline? That's the setup. That's how they get into the past. That goes along. Marty finds Doc. They're trying to figure out a way to, because they can't access the nuclear power back then. They need to figure out another way of doing it. They figure out that the clock tower is going to be struck by lightning, and that's going to give them the power. So they know that's happening later in the week.
A lot of scientists were consulted for this movie, I imagine.
Marty, yeah, totally. Apparently, I read one science guy said it stacks up pretty well, a lot of it.
Really?
Yeah, which is surprising to me as well. Because something they don't worry about much is that everything Marty does would change things in the future.
Yeah.
And only... one of the main plot point of the first movie is that Marty saves his dad from being hit by a car and gets hit by the car himself. And that is what led to Marty's parents meeting and falling in love. When his dad got hit by the car, his mum's dad, and he brought George McFly, Marty's dad, into his house where he met Lorraine, his mum.
And then
they fell in love there.
And he was born from
But instead, Marty was taken in, and his mum fell in love with Marty.
Oh, dear. There's the incest we were talking about.
So a lot of the first film is spent with Marty trying to get Lorraine, his mum, to fall in love with his dad rather than with him.
Oh, very good.
And she knows him as a Calvin Klein because that's the underwear he's wearing. There's heaps of product placement. So much product placement.
Wow.
Pepsi's throughout the movie. A Toyota ad is the first thing you hear at the start of the movie.
There's an
over
ad.
Over the radio. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, his alarm clock goes off. And
good morning, Toyota. What a great car.
But there's kind of fun things like, so there was an ad for, I think it was Statler or something like that. And then in the third film, in the Wild West, there's a billboard for Statler horses.
It's a reference.
Just a reference saying that family business went on from horse and carts to Toyotas in the future or whatever.
Oh.
Little fun things like that, like are everywhere as well, I found. But so I don't know, this is fucking tedious so far.
No, it's fine. I'm enjoying the recap.
That's the basis for the movie. The other big part of it, I guess, is the bad guy through the whole series is a guy called Biff, or his in the second movie his it's Biff and his grandson Griff. Griff Tanner, and in the third one, it'll be Biff's. Well, one of Biff's ancestors was.
So Biff doesn't sound
Mad
like a very Libyan name to me. So he's not one of the Libyans.
So the Libyans only play that very small part.
So what's Biff's beef? Biff beef.
Biff's just a bully. He's been a bully. He was a bully
to
Marty's dad in high school in 1955. Griff in the second one was a bully to Marty's son, Marty Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
And in the third one. Mad Dog Tanner, who was Griff's great, whatever. He was a bully to Marty's great grandfather, Seamus McFly, an Irish immigrant who was the first McFly to land in America. Played by Michael J. Fox with a fairly convincing Irish accent.
Oh, I've got like 4 days left of unemployment and I've already committed to watching the Rocky movies because I haven't seen Rocky.
There's like six of them.
I know. I'm going to watch like one.
Yeah. And the first one's meant to be the best one.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. And now I'm going to watch Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's a really fun trilogy, I reckon. Enough about the plot. I think majority of people...
Yeah, that's right. I think Jess and I are the odd ones out and not knowing.
I was really expecting you guys to...
to know
be all
heaps.
Over it, but
sorry, mate.
That's all right. You weren't born when it came out, so fair enough.
No, we weren't.
Oh, well, I hardly was either.
Nah, you were, though.
What was the first one?
You were very much
you
alive.
You definitely were alive.
Is it 1985?
You already had a beard.
1985, and the second one was released in 89, and the third one in 1990. The sequel. So there was never intended to be a sequel. The end of the first movie, Doc comes back from the future, and the DeLorean's now a flying car, which obviously wasn't through the rest of the movie. And that was just meant to be a little joke at the end of the movie, like, look at the crazy future flying car. But that ended up, it became a huge success, the first movie. So there was going to be a sequel. The studio were going to make a sequel, and they're like, to the creators, they're like, with or without you, we're doing it. So they're like, well, we're getting on board. We're not going to let someone else
fuck
with our legacy.
So they were like, let's write it. So who are the creators or the writers?
Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. They're the creators. And it was the whole idea came about when Bob Gale saw his father's high school yearbook when he was visiting his parents. And he wondered to himself whether or not he would have been friends with his dad if they were at high school at the same time. Because his dad was like, I think he was like president of the student body or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, in my year, I'd have no idea. I had nothing to do with the president of the student body. I wonder if I even would have known him, you know? So he found that idea really interesting, and he took it to Zemeckis, and then they started developing it. Maybe we'll talk a bit about that, how the movie came about.
It did just start as a film. They're screenwriters, are they?
Yeah, they're screenwriters. They'd written a few movies together, and they had a bit of a relationship with Steven Spielberg as well. They'd done two movies with Spielberg, but both of them had flopped. So they were a bit wary.
Yeah.
Supposedly they were a bit wary about doing another one with him. And they were starting to think that it was looking like they're only getting gigs because of their relationship with Spielberg.
Yeah, right. And what they're thinking at that stage, I don't think Spielberg's going to come back from this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think they knew he was okay. But
that's the last you'll hear of that Spielberg character.
I'd love it if they thought he was the problem. We've got to stop working with Spielberg.
Yeah.
Wow, he's really...
I think he was already... He already had a pretty strong career going, but they hadn't. They were just worried that they were seen as being like...
The bad luck guys.
Not bad luck necessarily, just like... Oh, if it wasn't for their mate Spielberg, they would never have any movies made, you know?
Yeah. Riding his coattails.
That's what they felt like, that's what it would look like. And so they went without Spielberg and pitched it to a few studios. Columbia picked it up in a development deal, so they paid them to write a script. And then the next year in 81, they brought the script to them, and Columbia weren't particularly interested in it, so they shelved it, which means something else in other worlds, but anyway, just amusing myself. And they actually said it's a very nice film, but it's not, at that stage teen movies were pretty like sexual and crazy,
shelving it.
Yeah. So maybe it's a nice Disney movie, maybe take it to Disney, they said. So they took it to Disney, and Disney said that the whole mother falling in love with her son thing was not really appropriate for the Disney family market, they thought.
You sort of need something in between Columbia and Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not Disney enough for us.
I think Columbia at the time was just making hardcore porn or something.
Unless he fucks his mum, we're not interested.
Yeah. We really enjoyed this interaction between the mother and her son. We feel like that should be the movie.
If we could explore that more.
I just don't understand all this stuff with the Libyans at the start.
Yeah, there's terrorism. There's... it's a pretty crazy movie, but it is still, like, super family friendly.
Yeah.
I watched it as a kid and I didn't pick up any of that stuff.
Nah. So it starts with terrorists... executing an old man.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
executing is a great
and
word.
And the problem
it's
that...
It's a little too Disney for me.
The problem Disney had was... Yeah, the one where he falls in love with his mother, that's the problem that I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the bit where the old man gets shot by some Libyan terrorists.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, no worries.
That's definitely part of the Disney values.
In the meantime, Zemeckis directed a film called Romancing the Stone, which was a bit of a hit. which gave him a little bit of currency.
Sweet coin.
Yeah, a bit of coin, but also just a bit helped his reputation a bit outside of his relationship with Spielberg. He showed that he could do it without him, sort of thing. So at that stage, they approached Spielberg and said, "You want to get on board?" And with Spielberg, they found some interest from Universal Studios.
Yeah, straight Spielberg coattails here, like, again.
But also the Zemeckis from Romancing the Stone.
Yes, but yeah.
Success.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, it was someone from Columbia who'd moved over and was now running Universal. So they already liked the script when they were over at Columbia, but they didn't have the final say. So when they were over at Universal, they're like, "Hey, I can't believe I'm going to get a crack at this," but Columbia still owned the script.
Oh,
because they paid for it to be developed.
Yeah, so they owned it. Must be so frustrating when someone's like, "Oh no, I've got these guys who want to make it, but these guys own it and they don't want anyone else to have it, but they don't want to make it.
We don't want to make it, but we don't want them to make it. What if it's a hit?"
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's like, if I can't have it, no one can, or whatever.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
It is kind of like that, yeah.
So how,
even though they can have it, they do have it. So it falls down a little bit. But anyway.
So in these kind of situations, do they just have to start offering lots and lots of money to buy it?
Yeah, that would be one way of doing it. In this case,
they went back to the future before Columbia.
Yeah, back to the past, but yeah.
Back to the past, where they hired some Libyan terrorists to blow up the Colombian headquarters.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
Before they were even born.
And they all fell in love with their mums. Which is just how we ended up in this bizarro future that we're in now.
But you're listening to this program.
So at the same time that Universal was showing some interest, Columbia were trying to make a film called Big Trouble. But Columbia's lawyers said that...
is it a life-size adaptation of the board game Trouble? It's like Big Trouble? Pretty good. Worth interrupting you. Continue, Matt. Columbia's making Big Trouble.
So they were making this film called Big Trouble, and they'd greenlit it. It was good to go. They were ready to film, but their lawyers were like, "Only problem is, the script is so similar to another movie called Double Indemnity, which they didn't have the rights to, an older movie. So Columbia Pictures traded the ownership of Back to the Future, and Universal gave Columbia the rights to
swap.
They're doing like playing like Pokemon cards.
Pokemon or totally. Monopoly. Like, you give me Park Lane, I'll give you all three of these green ones. Yeah. Then we'll both have a set each.
That's totally how it was. But it was at that stage, both were like, "We want this thing you've got. Let's just swap." And it was like a perfect...
That's amazing.
With hindsight, it's a horrible trade from Columbia. Because you don't even know what Big Trouble is. But this is the thing I found really fascinating, was Universal only had the rights to Double Indemnity because they just bought a big chunk of movies from Paramount from the pre-1948. It was a 1944 film. They just bought this huge heap of films mainly to use to sell to TV channels. Midday movies and stuff. So it was just one little... Like, it wasn't this prized possession they had. It was
They just had 200 scripts.
They went to a garage sale for movies and said, we'll take whatever you got. And one of them was this thing that ended up landing them Back to the Future.
Oh, my God. That's fascinating. Yeah. You'd never get that these days, would you? Just swap you.
It feels like that, yeah. That would be unlikely. Probably because of things like this.
Yeah, probably,
like,
yeah.
We're not making the... Big Trouble is right.
Yeah. Surely there's some sort of alternative reality where no one's heard of Back to the Future, but Trouble 4 is coming out at cinemas this summer.
And we're so excited.
Everyone's like, "Yes, Big Trouble! Big Trouble! Even bigger trouble."
It had a great cast and it was... I think it got released in the end, but yeah, there's no... The Wikipedia page... But it's got the cast is pretty great.
Who's in Big
it was
Trouble?
John Cassavetes' last film that he directed. Peter Falk's in it. Alan Arkin. So it's like it's
Peter Falk from Columbo.
Columbo, yeah.
I like Alan Arkin.
Yeah, so it was like, and it was, yeah, they obviously Columbia thought it was going to be big, but yeah, it just didn't quite happen for them. Yeah. Anyway, moving along, there was an executive at Universal who started making suggestions to this script that they just bought. He saw ways of improving it. So, and some of these things came off. His name was Sydney Sheinberg.
That is such a sweet producer name.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Sydney Sheinberg.
You're going to be a star, kid.
Yeah.
It's me.
Sydney. Or to you, Mr. Sheinberg.
I'll make you a star, see?
Come on, Matt, have a go. It's fun.
Hey, good on you. I'm Sydney. Nah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
That's probably more accurate, to be honest.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Sydney Sheinberg. Nice to meet you.
That's probably more accurate what he sounded like. It was not the 40s. But
yeah, this is what, the 80s.
This guy might have been. It was
you're going right to the top, kid.
So
it's me, Sydney.
Old Sheinberg.
Yeah, I know Sydney. Why do you keep saying your name?
Stop saying your name.
What Sydney, about, I've known you for 20 years.
You brought us into this office for some suggestions to the script. What do you want to say? Oh, get there, kid. I'm Sheinberg. I'm Sydney Sheinberg.
Yeah, your name's right there on the desk. Yeah, I know, mate.
You were the best man at my wedding, Sydney. I know.
So, okay. These are
so did he make
these
some...
are his suggestions. Oh, and these ones, a bunch of them were used. So he suggested they change Marty's mother's name from Meg to Lorraine, which happened.
Oh.
And I think
I love quiche. You see, kid, I'm eating quiche every day. Lorraine, it's big. It's big in the 80s.
he was. It sounds
find
like...
me one person called Meg. Hey,
come on. What the hell's a Meg?
I've never eaten a Meg.
You ever eaten a Meg? Quiche. Everyone's talking about quiche. Lorraine. Lorraine. My God, I've done it again. I'm Sydney. Sydney Sheinberg.
Sheinberg, you've done it again.
I think you're pretty close. All right, what else does he say?
I think you're pretty close to the kind of guy he was, because they are the kind of, I don't know about the voice and stuff, but they're the kind of, the reason he was Lorraine was because it was his wife's name or something like that. So that was just a totally vain reason.
That's brilliant.
He also suggested changing Professor Brown to Doc Brown, which they did.
Nobody trusted Professor.
It's all about the ducks.
You know who you trust? Your doctor. He should be a duck.
Your duck. I've never had a gloved professional put his finger in my ass. But a duck. I've had many a duck. See what I'm talking about, kid? I'm Sydney. Dr. Sydney Sheinberg.
Okay. Your new character, Sydney Sheinberg,
Sheinberg.
Is just about the funniest thing I've ever heard
in my life.
Do you reckon
Sheinberg's still alive?
I think he might be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I reckon we should get him on.
Quiche Lorraine.
Let me click on his.
We offer him a quiche Lorraine.
Get him on. We have been tweeting to Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Aldrin since the last episode.
He is still kicking. He's 80 years old.
Sydney
Sheinberg.
Sydney.
Sydney Sheinberg. See?
So other suggestions he made?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Oh, my God. There's more. Yes.
Initially, Doc Brown's pet was a chimpanzee. And he said, I've done the research.
Of course he had.
There has never been a hit movie with a chimpanzee in it.
Name me one. Name me one famous chimp. One famous chimp. You can. I've tried.
But I bet you could name five famous dogs.
And then he...
I've got one right here. Look, at my dog. My little dog Einstein. Why don't you just call him Dog Einstein, huh?
But Sheinberg, you've done it again.
Listening back to this is just going to be a lot of me going, but then...
Trying to interrupt with actual facts. Matt, we're not interested in actual facts on this show.
No, I'm just like...
I'm so sorry.
I'm just like, oh, but I've got a thing to say. That's like the dullest way to do a podcast. Listen to me for a second. I want something boring. But yeah, so here's something boring. Someone replied to him. I've done my research. There's never been a hit movie with a chimpanzee in it. And someone said,
What about Planet of the Apes?
Someone said, what about Any Which Way But Loose or something like that? And he's like, Orangutan.
Oh, got him on a technicality.
Nice.
I said chimp.
Chimp.
There's no movie with a chimp.
Chimp.
You want to make it a gorilla, then we'll talk.
Yeah.
King Kong, big fan. Big fan. He just so passes to his secretary. Jessica, is King Kong still coming in for lunch? Because I could really go a Keith Lorraine right now.
It's me. Sydney Sheiberg, by the way.
Sydney Sheiberg, your boss. Sydney.
Oh, fuck me, that's so great.
So
that's not all. I'm not quite done with Sheinberg. He is,
oh, thank God.
His final, probably his most famous suggestion was one that didn't come off. He'd also done some research and found that no hit film had ever had Future in the title. So he said, we got to change the name. And he suggested they change it to Spaceman from Pluto.
Back to the Future. I don't like it. I don't like it.
You know, one of the kids are talking about Pluto, that new planet Pluto, the most recently discovered planet. Everyone loves Pluto, right? Am I right?
You know what else they love? You know what else they love? Spacemen. Here's what I'm thinking. We put them together. Spacemen for Pluto.
Sheinberg, you've done it again.
Sheinberg's my new hero.
Zemeckis was like, I don't like that name very much. That's he contacted Spielberg. He's like,
Spielberg, can you call like, it? You're the only one that Sheinberg respects.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, yeah, the Bergs. He's like, geez, their names are very similar. There's only a couple. Anyway, is that a conspiracy? I wonder.
Same person. You never seen us in the same room.
Do you think? Yeah, it's Steven Spielberg doing a character.
Yeah.
Imagine.
It's me, Sydney Sheinberg.
That's why he keeps saying his name, to remind himself.
Is that you, Steven? I gotta go. No, it's Sydney.
It's like Mrs. Doubtfire. He's got two dinners.
I gotta put my face in some cream right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So he got Zemeckis got on to Spielberg and said,
Dude, can you
please do something about this? So apparently Spielberg sent a memo over to Sheinberg and said something along the lines of, thanks so much for that. That is such a humorous memo. We really got a great laugh out of it. Cheers.
Ooh.
Just like playing it like, we assume you're joking.
Like
obviously.
Spaceman from Pluto.
Yeah. Very funny joke, you know, and apparently that embarrassed him into dropping the suggestion.
He's never brought. He was like, "Yeah,
I'm a gag man."
But they took three out of four of his suggestions, so.
Yeah. No, they were definitely listening to.
Actually,
no,
they didn't about the dog, did they? No, they kept the dog.
No, they did change it to a dog from a chimp.
They had it as a chimp. Oh, okay.
It was
going to
be a chimp, not an orangutan, but a chimp.
Another change that I don't think. Sheinberg was involved in was initially the time machine wasn't going to be a car. It was going to be like a stationary vault sort of thing made from refrigerator parts. It was basically going to be a refrigerator and that was going to be the time machine. But it was going to be powered by an atomic bomb.
Ooh.
They had to go in 1955, they had to go to a bomb test site. But Spielberg was worried that kids would trap themselves in refrigerators, apparently. So that's why they changed it to a car. And the car was a lot more versatile as well, because it could also be used as a car.
Mm, which is handy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, which turns out to be pretty handy.
But what if you want a cool beverage?
Oh, that's a good point.
You got to drive to your fridge.
Well, that's doable. It's doable.
I guess that is doable.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
Yeah, so he's probably my favourite thing about the whole story that I found is the... More so now, but the Sydney Sheinberg. I didn't realize there was going to be so much juice in it, but...
I'm a big fan of the Sheinberg.
Sheinberg, you did it again! You're a star, Sheinberg! That's what he yells to himself in the mirror of the morning.
Has he produced, like, a lot of hit films? Like, if we look up Sheinberg...
I will look up Sheinberg.
We know he's alive aged 80 or in his 80s, but, like, I would love it if he had produced some films, or is this his big... His shining moment.
I mean, this has got to be... Surely this would be his big moment, right? But
Feather in the cap.
Let's see, what's his career? He's been married to actress Lorraine Gary since 1956, so that's where the Lorraine came from.
Lorraine! I like quiche. I like that you went straight to quiche and not like, it could be somebody else's name.
No,
like I'm his wife, quiche.
Whenever I hear Lorraine, I instantly think of, I'd love a quiche Lorraine right about now.
Fair enough.
Oh, Scheinberg is also known for discovering Steven Spielberg.
Oh, yeah, because they're the same person.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Oh, so maybe Spielberg's a character of Scheinberg.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Nobody was taking Scheinberg seriously, so he invented this protege.
Spielberg.
What's his first name? Steven?
Steven.
His name's Steven.
You're going to love him.
He's not me. What? Hmm?
I got to go for 5 minutes, but Steven's going to come right back through that door.
I think he was in Clue. So he helped work on Jaws, E.T., Jurassic Park. So a lot of Spielberg's ones.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, I know of them.
And Schindler's List.
Okay.
And Back to the Future. Geez, Back to the Future is right down the list on
Wiki.
Wiki. Do you want to talk about the cast at all? Do you know much about the cast?
No, to be honest. We've got Michael J. Fox and...
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah,
Christopher Lloyd's so good.
Yeah, big fan.
So, obviously, you know, movies then usually, it's rare that you just starts with the first choice and that's who it ends up being. So there were other choices and...
And it's always that thing of, imagine if it was that role.
Yeah.
It would have sucked if it was, you know.
Totally.
So I've read a bunch that Marty McFly was their first choice, but I've also read, initially said he couldn't do it because of... TV commitments at Family Ties.
Family Ties.
And the
yes.
producers at Family Ties wouldn't release him to shoot it.
Until Scheinberg got in their ear.
Yeah. Apparently Ralph Macchio was offered the part. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I could have done wonders for his later career.
He knocked it back. Oh, it would have been amazing.
He knocked it back with a karate chop.
Chopped it back.
He just chopped the script in half.
Hi-ya!
And you're like, man, you're really going to typecast yourself if you keep demanding to do this in every meeting. Stop wearing your black belt to Hollywood. He just walks down the street with it.
Yeah, his manager would just be so pissed off. Come on, we really need to do well in this meeting. No, not today. Chop! When he does that...
Just a karate...
What's that classic movie did? The
wax on, wax
crane?
Off.
Oh, yeah. He waxes you on and off.
Ooh.
Ooh, hello.
That's like him saying yes or no to a script. Wax off. Wax off. Wax on. This is good.
Oh, wax on.
I'll go for this part.
Don't say wax off too much.
But, okay, so Fox knocked it back. He had to knock it back. So the role was initially given to Eric Stoltz. Are you familiar with him at all? You
Definitely
might know him by
know
face.
The name.
He's been in films like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I know his
Killing
face.
Zoe, Kicking
Who
and Screaming.
Who does he play in Pulp Fiction?
One of them dudes. Yeah.
Which dude?
I don't know. That's
John Travolta.
Yeah, he plays John Travolta.
Oh, no, you're thinking of Face Off.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of Face Off. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he was given the role initially, but and they shot for 4 weeks.
Oh, they did a whole month with him.
Yeah, they did a whole month with him before. I've read different things. I've had all of them say that the producers, Spielberg, and also director Zemeckis, saw him as being unsuitable for the role. Great, he brought great drama to it, but not the comedy.
So and it is sort of a comedy film.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay, so Eric Stoltz played Lance, Vincent's drug dealer in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, he's awesome. The guy that won't answer the phone eating the cereal.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right, yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
And he's the one that injects.
That movie's a trilogy in one.
Pardon? No, he's the one that gives the...
You'll enjoy editing out that nice little pause there.
A trilogy.
Yeah, that's how Dave just died. His eyes glazed over.
Oh, no, because I said...
That movie was three stories in one. Pulp Fiction was... It was a trilogy in one, and he just, like, looked
no,
at me
I was thinking
and
of,
had a stroke.
No, I was imagining the character of Lance.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that as we're recording a podcast. You're just silently imagining something, you jerk.
Just thinking about Uma Thurman being injected
again. Look at
injected in the heart. Anyway, I love you, Uma. I love you, Uma. I thought you were going to die in that movie.
You looked into the middle distance there, yeah, which is hard in such a small room.
I was lost.
So, yeah, he's shot for 4 weeks. Apparently, there are a couple of, like, small glimpses of him in the final cut as well. And I read a bunch of different accounts of it. One of them was talking about how they'd made the decision but hadn't told him and kept shooting for a little while and just didn't. They were like,
and they were like, sorry, mate, like, there hasn't been filming this camera for 3 weeks.
No, they were filming. It was like, are we going to get the reverse angle? We'll get that one later, sort of thing. But they were getting all the shots of Doc.
Oh, yeah. Why do you keep filming the back of my head? Don't worry about it, Eric.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Brutal.
Oh, that's harsh.
I've also read something saying that he agreed that he wasn't suitable for the role after filming, that he found the direction a bit confusing. So, I don't know. But, yeah, my instinct says that it was more them than him.
That's like a little bit of pressure once they do bring on Michael J. Fox. They're like, well, we've already filmed for a month with this other guy, but he wasn't right, so you better like...
Yeah, we're pretty prepared to fire people.
Yeah, but also like...
A little bit, but I also think they were like, they always kind of wanted Michael J. Fox. Yeah. And I reckon it feels like it's a bit of a coincidence that he became available. So it's sort of like, I wonder if he still wasn't available if they would have fired him anyway.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe,
not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but the decision cost them $3 million. Losing 4 weeks of filming. And the budget at that stage was only meant to be $14 million. So it was a huge chunk of the budget.
A quarter of your money has just gone on Eric Stoltz.
Oof.
Yeah. On that decision. Fox jumped on board, making a deal with his producer at Family Ties that he would still, if there was ever a conflict, Family Ties wins. So he kept filming Family Ties Monday to Friday during the day and then filming Back to the Future at night till about 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Having around 5 hours sleep, getting up and doing it again. So all the nighttime shoots were internal set shoots. And then weekends he would do the exterior
Back to the Future shoots.
So just hectic. And there was a quote somewhere that said he goes, I always dreamed of working in the movie and television industries. I just never thought it would be at the exact same time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's a witty guy.
I feel like it was probably much funnier when he said it.
Sorry, Matt. You just don't have
Matt looked at both of us like, and hold for applause, for applause.
I looked at, I did the Eric Stoltz reading of
yeah,
the
I was
one.
About to say, let's replace you with Michael
Jones. Let's let Dave do it. Dave, you do that line.
I always dreamed of being in the television and film industry. Just never thought it'd be at the same time. Am I right? I'm Michael J. Fox. Thank you.
Do all your characters just say who they are a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to reinforce it. It's an audio medium. And I only have one voice. No, I've got two voices. The other one's Stoinberg. Okay. I'm Sydney. I like Michael J. This Eric Stoltz, I don't get him.
There was some collateral damage from the Stoltz sacking.
Mm.
His Marty McFly's girlfriend in the movie was to be played at that stage by Melora Hardin, but she was seen as being too tall.
Jess, that name is funny. Jess is laughing. It is funny. Melora Hardin.
I'll give you Melora Hardin.
But she was too tall for Michael J.
Michael J. Fox is about 5'4". And
he's tiny.
And so she was seen as being too tall to be his girlfriend. So she was...
Tall girls never date short guys.
She was recast. Her part was recast.
Imagine if she was recast as Eric Stoltz.
By Claudia Wells. who then...
Scheinberg's like, I'll play his girlfriend.
I'm only 5'7".
I'm 4'8".
I can wear heels, guys. I can wear heels. So who's Claudia?
I've got beautiful eyelashes.
Watch him go.
So Claudia Wells played Jennifer in the first movie, but wasn't able to play her in the sequels. So she was recast because she had personal reasons. I think it sounds like it was her mum was a bit crook. So Elizabeth Shue came in to play that role.
Same character or just new girlfriend?
No, exact same character. They even refilmed one of the scenes. So the end of the first movie is the same scene as the first of the second movie. They just reshot it, shot for shot, just with a new actress.
Oh.
Yeah. which I never noticed as a kid either. But yeah, so that that was because of Stoltz missing out. It meant that Harden, but she's still a working actress. She's on some big time TV shows that I've never heard of in America. To but this very day,
look at her go.
The hard on is still hard.
Yeah, she's still doing really well. Then other cast members. So you got Christopher Lloyd was cast as Doc Brown, and that was after John Lithgow was unavailable.
Oh, he'd be good.
Yeah, he would have been really good. Also, apparently,
was he old enough yet though
to look crazy?
Well, the problem with it, I mean, the problem or the tricky thing about it is that the Doc Brown character is multiple ages. He has to play a 30-year gap in age. So so if you're young, then you're gonna have to make yourself up to be look older, or vice versa. So it wouldn't have necessarily mattered. You probably want to be somewhere in between.
I feel like Doc just always looks old though.
Yeah, he kind of does. I guess he's meant to be in his 30s in the first one, and in his 60s. No, sorry, his 30s in 55, and his 60s in 85. I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's obviously pushing it for 30s in the first one. Mm. I don't think he, or maybe it's 40s and 70s. I'm not sure. So yeah, I guess that could have worked. And also other people who were considered for the role include, I'm blanking on his name, but he was like, everyone loves him.
Uh huh.
He was in Jurassic Park. He was in Portlandia recently. He was in. We'll see.
Are you talking about?
Come on, Dave.
Life just finds a way.
Yeah, maybe. Who's that?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yep, that's him. So he was up for the part as well.
He is the sexiest man. Anyway, yep.
So, yeah, it ended up being Doc Brown. Doc Brown also is quite tall. He's 6'1". So in the movie, they had to use trick photography. Christopher Lloyd is.
Is how tall?
6'1". So pretty tall, but compared to Michael J. Fox, he's really tall.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Tiny.
So they had to use trick photography sort of things like depth perception sort of stuff. And also Doc Brown hunched a lot, and that's why. So he could be in the same shot as Marty.
Just imagine. Keep hunching. More. He's like in a ball on the floor.
Yeah, please. Hunch. Yeah, they should have cast him in a wheelchair or something if they needed to. Maybe like a Segway. Mm. No, that makes you taller. That doesn't work at all. Sorry.
Put Michael J. on a Segway.
Yeah, put Michael J. on a Segway. Can we get a box? Or yes. I think, look, this is why we should be in production. Apparently, Christopher Lloyd took inspiration from Albert Einstein and the conductor Leopold Stokowski
for the
part he played.
Oh, right.
Just his life. They're just his idols anyway.
Which conductor?
I've never heard of him. Leopold Stokowski.
Nice.
Famous in the 80s, perhaps.
What do you reckon Leopold Stokowski would sound like?
Great Scott. I've got two voices. One is my own. The other is Stoberg.
I reckon. Find another voice.
No, I don't have one.
Go low. You've gone high.
Yeah, go really low.
Hey, I'm a conductor.
Hey, I'm a
conductor. You've now got a triptych of voices.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a triple threat of voices. One of them is my own.
It's not bad.
So, Lorraine, Marty's mum, was played by Leah Thompson in part 1, 2, and 3. Her main role was in part 1. She's playing Marty's mum, but she's actually only 3 days older than Michael J. Fox.
Ooh.
3 days?
But that's because in the 1955, she was playing her own age, basically.
It's like me playing your mum.
Young, even.
Yeah, it is, because you are 2 days older than I am.
I do have a joke about looking like a mum from a Nappy San ad, but...
look like that. That shirt and everything about you was very...
I often wear this when denim I tell on that white. Joke. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
The white boat shoes.
Yep.
You are looking very
mummy.
Suburban mummy.
Did you notice that yourself, or did someone once tell you that?
Somebody said I could play... I don't think I look my age, so they said I could be like 22 or 32. You know, like you'd sort of be like, oh, she looks like old for 22 or young for 32.
Yes.
That is the weirdest logic. To me, that just means you look like you're 25.
Yeah, hold on. You find the middle ground there, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, you're definitely not 25 or 26. You are either 115
yeah.
or you're six. A toddler.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could play your mum. based on that logic. There you go.
And then, but I like that. Crispin Glover, who played
God, I love Marty's, that name. I love the name Crispin.
It's such a sweet name. Have you seen his? He's got a pretty famous interview on an early Letterman, and it's super awkward and a lot of fun. I still don't know if it's put on or not. But at one point, I think he goes to fake kick him or punch him or something.
Letterman just fake punts.
No, Crispin. He goes, look, I can. Hey, I can. I've got value. I can look. I can kick. And he's like, puts his foot up in his face or something like that. It's a vague memory.
Very weird.
But yeah, so he plays George McFly in the first movie, but he's 3 years younger than Michael J. Fox.
What?
So that's interesting. His role, like he had quite a big role in the first film, but in the second and third ones, his role was going to be reduced, and his pay was going to be a lot less than a couple of the other stars. So he held out for more money. He got a second offer, which was less than the first one.
Oh, that is classic.
Brutal.
Yeah, Sydney.
That is, yeah. That's got Sydney all over it, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Okay, you want to wait?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do.
I spend your money at the track. Now I'm a millionaire, you're getting less.
Every time we just peel back another layer of who this Sydney guy is.
Now he's
a
gambling.
And a good gambler, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what, because there's a big... Big part of the storyline is about Biff earning his fortune as a gambler.
With Biff, was based on Sydney. Yeah.
Little part of him there. He didn't accept it, so he wasn't in the second and third films.
Oh, so he held out so much.
Yeah, he held out. Yeah. A guy called Jeffrey Wiseman came in instead. With prosthetics on his face to make him look more like Crispin Glover and some...
Doing a Crispin Glover mask.
And also, but yeah, basically, they had a mold of his
Crispin
face.
Crispin Glover.
They had a mold of his face from the first film because they had to age him in the first film, so they were able to do it pretty accurately. I never knew until recently that wasn't even him. They do tricks like in the future, George McFly has done his back. Like in 2015, he's done his back, so he's in this weird upside down thing. So it's a bit harder to tell. So every scene you see him, he's never just like face at the camera. It's always like back of his head, side on, upside down.
Right. Do you still think if you use a mask of someone, do you have to pay?
Well, that because of this. Okay, so I'll just read this chunk off online. So Crispin Glover sued the filmmakers, as he had not granted permission to use his likeness in part two. His suit named John Doe 1-100 as defendant, so he did not have to name all the individuals he was suing. And this suit ended up being dropped because it was settled out of court when he got a payment, which was much higher than about three times what his offer was to be in the second film, $765,000.
So he got... $750,000 to not be in the film.
Yeah. Wow. Well, they basically used him.
Yeah.
But without using him. And they decided that would be cheaper than going to trial. But because of this case, the Screen Actors Guild subsequently introduced new rules about illicit use of actors. So now you can't do stuff like that.
Oh, you can't just use someone's... I can't put on like a Robert De Niro mask and pretend to be... Robert De Niro.
Not without, like, I imagine you could do it if you were mucking about, but if you were going.
You've heard my accent range.
Yeah.
I could make a pretty accurate.
I think you could do it. But they also use some footage of.
I'm Robert De Niro. I used to be in a lot of good films.
She's not saying anything.
It's just
yeah, but I'm doing the voice because it's an audio podcast. I used to be in a lot of good films, and now I'm in a lot of shit old people movies. I'm Robert De Niro.
It's not great.
He's in terror. Have you seen his acting choices?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be in those.
I don't know.
Maybe he just wants to. Maybe he's having fun.
Just in all this.
He's just having a good time. Fuck you, Dave.
Fuck you, Robert De Niro. What a waste of a talent.
Here's another interesting point,
Is it about Robert De Niro? Because that's what I'm thinking about.
No, unfortunately, it's about Leah Thompson, who played Lorraine, the mum.
Oh, yes, I do like Keish Lorraine.
So she's in... You know how I said that Michael J. Fox plays Seamus McFly, the Irish?
Oh, yeah.
He's married to a woman named Maggie.
Okay.
Good. But Maggie is playing...
Why was there such a big pause?
There was a pause because I couldn't find the name. I thought it was like a big pause. No,
I thought it was going to be like a really, really, really funny name. Yeah.
No, no, it was no nothing like
Maggie,
that.
Maggie, funny.
And that and Maggie McFly is Marty's paternal great great grandmother, but she is played by Leah Thompson, who played his mum also. Right, so not okay. on the same, not on the right side of the family. So again, it's like it's got Michael J. Fox in a relationship, basically with his the person who's playing his mum. Which is different, but they said because it makes no sense that she would have any resemblance yeah. because she's from a different
the wrong
side of the
side.
Yeah, but they Zemeckis said that he imagines that McFly men are simply genetically predisposed to be attracted to women that look like her.
Okay, that's weird.
That's very un-Disney.
That's very yeah. No wonder.
I reckon my favorite actor in the movie is Thomas F. Wilson, you know him? He's the one who just plays the bad guy, Biff and Griff and Mad Dog Buford Tanner. He does stand up and he's a very funny song on YouTube where he talks about all the... He's still just bugged with questions about this movie and he's sick of it. So he just got this song where he sings all the answers. He's like, Michael J. Fox, yeah, he's a nice guy. The hoverboards, yeah, we were on strings, it's a much more tuneful than that, but
hopefully,
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we were on strings, Michael J. Fox.
But he's great. I reckon his range is so good. He's like the manure. Everyone always asks if it was real manure because he eats manure in every movie, and he's like, "No, it wasn't. It's a movie."
Yeah, that didn't make me eat shit.
But the characters, the Tannen characters, were named after a Universal executive, Ned Tannen, who was particularly douchey to them in an early meeting for an earlier movie.
Oh.
So they're like, yeah, we're going to name the bad guy after him. Which I, to me is like, oh, that's sweet. Immortalize me. That'll show me.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Who else is in there? Oh, James Tolkien was Mr. Strickland. This is such a dumb podcast. Now I'm going to read a list of actors. He was the teacher, you know, the one who's like, you're a slacker, McFly. And he was said this. He was the same to George as he was to Marty in the different eras. But also his grandfather, Marshall James Strickland, was also played by Tolkien in the third part. He was the sheriff in town. And he also talked about discipline and he was teaching his son. He's like, see, you got to show him discipline, kid. And they're sort of showing that that's how it was passed.
Cool.
Is the whole film one scene and then callbacks to
it
the
totally
one scene?
It totally is. The, in
just
every...
the same thing, just in three different settings.
In every movie... In every movie,
Sean Berg's like, make it the same.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I like the first movie. Make two more of that. Two more. Westerns are coming back.
Make it a Western.
Yeah, apparently Michael J. Fox had said, he's like, oh, it'd be really fun to be in a Western. And apparently, in part, that was the reason why they did that. But also, in every movie, Marty wakes up thinking he's just had a bad dream about time travel. And in every movie, in the Wild West, in Bizarro 1985... In 1955, in each of those movies, it's his mum or the actress playing his mum, Thompson, saying, oh, Marty, you know, you're here and it's okay. You're still here in 1955. 1955? And then that's how he realized. You're still here in the Wild West. They didn't call it.
My mum's literally never woken me up and told me the date.
Yeah.
Like,
don't worry, Marty.
Good morning, Jess. It's 2015.
2015!
I'm off to work. Bye.
Yeah, I can't remember how she did it, because in the Bizarro one, it was the year that he was expecting. It was just like in this warped version of it.
So,
don't worry, Marty. You're just in 1985, where your dad is now Biff Tannen for some reason.
She explains the whole plot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have fake breasts, because that's what he wants anyway.
What?
So that's enough about the characters. They're pretty much all the main characters. There were like sweet cameos, like Huey Lewis played the judge at the start of the first one, where Marty was trialing out his band, and Huey Lewis goes, you know Huey Lewis of
yeah,
Huey
from
Lewis
and the News,
and the News,
who are still touring. I looked them up yesterday for some reason.
Yeah, right. Well, they wrote the themes to the first movie, Power of Love.
Oh,
that's cool.
Was written for the movie. It was nominated for an Oscar.
Wow.
And yeah, Huey Lewis played this sort of nerdy comb over judge, and he goes, stop, sorry, you're just too darn loud. And that's why, that's how he, even though they were playing a song he wrote.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a nod and a wink, hey? Pretty funny. It was a huge, the first one in particular, massive success. It had ended up being about a $19 million budget, so it blew out a little bit from the early stage, but that was partially because of the soul thing. But it made around $390
million. Whoa! Shit. Like 20 times.
The whole trilogy cost about $100 million, so the sequels obviously cost a bit more. They put a bit more cash in them, but they made up over $900 million, so it was...
Wow.
Sweet profits.
Very nice.
You're an Oscar fan, Dave. Are you familiar with their performance at the Oscars?
No, please.
They were nominated for 5 over the trilogy.
Wow.
Only winning one, and that was for the first movie's...
editing.
Sound effects editing.
Sound effects editing.
Yeah, which is so super specific.
Those people get about 5 seconds before they're played off for their speech. Hello, I'd like to thank... Get off! No one cares who you are!
Yeah, theirs happen in the ad breaks for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So that's...
Wow.
That's most of it. I got a bunch of interesting facts. I've probably told you a few of them already. Do we have time for some of them?
I think we should get some time to wrap up with some sweet facts about back.
I love to finish with some fun facts.
I love to finish with fun facts to the future.
Stop it. Oh, no, I get
pretty
it.
Pretty good fun fact to the future.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. What was the other one they said earlier that was worth interrupting Matt for?
Oh, Big Trouble. Big Trouble.
Yes, was that was great. Yeah.
That will be edited out.
No, it's so good.
No.
I know. Do you know what, though? It was just his face, like how happy he looked with it, that made it so great for me.
Pretty good, everyone.
You know, the best, I much more enjoy the not doing the report part of this podcast, which I think is good that it's 2/3 of it is.
Yeah.
That's right. 2 out of 3 times we're here, you have a good time.
I feel like the ones that I do always feel shit, and they always...
I feel like I don't need to see the movie now, which is good.
Yeah, how can you take the fun out of a really fun thing? That's what we should call my episodes of the podcast. You know, the fun things like Burke and Wills.
Yeah, Burke and Wills and AFL.
The creation of
fun.
The AFL football. This maybe isn't a super fun fact, but I found this kind of cool. They did
mediocre fun fact.
They did a bunch of these kind of things. So Doc was kind of like early on at the very start. George McFly was a loser. Like in the original 1985, George was a loser. Marty went back. When he came back to 1985, his dad was a success. He was a great author and stuff like that. And this is in part because of Marty, right? So Doc was a bit of a father figure to Marty. And he would encourage him to, you know, have a go, basically. He used to say, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything, to Marty. Marty went back and said that to his dad when his dad was young. And then they came back to New 1985 where his dad was a success. And George McFly said to Marty, hey, if you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything. Or you can accomplish anything, which is kind of fun.
That's nice.
I like those little things. But yeah, there's just heaps of that. And they're just, you're right about the scenes just repeating themselves.
It sounds like one scene.
The dialogue and the scenes are just all
one scene over 3 movies for 6 hours.
This one apparently is a pretty famous one, so you may already know it. When he gets back into, when he first gets to 1955, he runs over a pine tree in the DeLorean. So where he left was the car park of Twin Pines Mall. And when he gets back to 1985, it's called Lone Pine Mall. Yeah, that's kind of fun, right?
Oh, very
that's
good.
Funny. Yeah. Would have been better if Scheinberg told us that fact. But
Scheinberg. I'm still here, guys.
Fox played the guitar through the movie, but that was all miming. He was taught by a guy called Paul Hansen to believably simulate it. That's not a fun fact. So that's just a fact.
The father of the band Hanson.
I feel like this is a fun fact.
That would have been cool if it was true. Yeah.
Oh, and that is true. Probably.
How many Hansons can there be?
Yeah. What are the odds, isn't it? Pauline Hanson's cousin. Elijah Wood made his movie debut in Back to the Future 2 as a kid playing a video game in Cafe 80s.
Oh, cool.
That cafe is in each timeline as well. In one timeline, it's a gym. In one, it's a cafe, and then in the future, it is a cafe, but there's some exercise bikes in there for some reason.
Oh.
The cafes of the future.
Yeah.
Combine the two.
I got
it. We had a gym, we had a cafe. I tell you what we do, we put a gym in a cafe.
Hey, I'm going to do that in real life. I'm going to get even richer.
Scheinberg.
Did you guys know that the series was kind of continued in cartoon form for a couple of
No.
Couple of years in the early 90s.
With Michael J. voicing or?
No, they for the most part it was different voice actors.
Oh, you got Scheinberg to do every character.
not all of them. Some, like, I think Biff was still voiced by the same guy. But in the cartoon, Doc Brown was voiced by a guy you might be familiar with.
Oh, you're looking
Dan
at me.
Dan Castellaneta.
Aha, uh-huh, from the old Simpsons.
You could probably pronounce that more correctly. Castellaneta?
I'm fairly sure it's, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so that's Homer.
That's cool.
So that would have been... Simpsons was already just going then.
Yeah, Simpsons is 1989.
The early drafts... early drafts of the sequel had them going back to the 60s, where George McFly was going to be a college professor and his mum, Lorraine, was going to be a quiche. Was going to be a flower child.
Scheinberg's like, I tell you what you do.
I got it. I got the idea.
What do you want? Maybe she could have been a quiche.
I'm just riffing here. Just riffing.
Just a giant talking quiche.
You know the whole fridge thing?
Yeah.
Spielberg, he sort of poo-pooed it because he was worried about the kids. He ended up using it in the fourth Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Indiana Jones survives a bomb blast, a nuclear bomb blast inside a fridge. Yeah,
that's right.
That's where he got that inspiration from. Spielberg's not a fan of Episode 2, the one that comes to 2015. He says, there's a quote saying, he says, Episode 2 is that little dip in a trilogy that we all go through, like Temple of Doom.
Wow.
Which I don't know what that...
That's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, right, great.
The second one.
Yeah,
which
cool.
Which is definitely not as good as the other first and third.
I reckon the second one, I probably prefer the Back to the Futures in the order they came out, first, second, and third.
So, getting not as good.
Yeah, that's a... I
get progressively worse.
But I like them all, but the first one's probably my favourite. What else? Oh, the shirt that Doc wears through the majority of the second film has, like, this print on it, which is little cowboys riding horses and a train. So it's just like, it's foreshadowing how the second, the third movie
very good.
Goes,
so many in-jokes.
Which is fun. Yeah.
So many.
Because in the end of the last one, he ends up turning a train into a time machine. So that's sort of foreshadowing the conclusion of the whole trilogy.
Mm.
Are any of these things fun? You know, in 1955, that's where Marty has to go back to the Wild West to save Doc Brown's life. Younger Doc Brown in 1955 dresses him up in what he thinks is Wild West clothes, but it's like, you know, campy Western movie clothes. And on the clothes, he has the symbols embroidered of the atomic blasts.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can sort of see that. Or atomic energy, anyway. So just little things like that.
Cool.
They seem to enjoy... little fun things like that. I found this one. There's just a couple more here. The first thing you see when they go back to 1955 the first time is a scarecrow. And some people have a theory that it's a little reference to The Wizard of Oz. Because when they travel into a different reality in Wizard of Oz, the first thing that Dorothy meets is a scarecrow. It feels like maybe a long bow, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Longbow.
And also, you guys familiar with Sherman and Mr. Peabody from
cartoon
time traveling? Yeah, so the farmer and his son in the movie are named Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Wow.
They don't actually even say it. That's just in the credits there listed as that. So that's a real super nerdy kind of reference.
That's cool.
And then the last one, which is kind of I find it fun. It's so dumb, but it's really fun, is when Marty's playing, he has to fill in to play some music at his parents' high school ball, the Undersea Enchantment Ball or whatever it's called, and he plays a song, he's like, here's an old one, or something like that, or it's old where I come from at least, and he plays a Chuck Berry song, and he rocks out, and the guy he's replaced on stage because he's hurt his hand is a guy called Marvin Berry, and he makes a phone call, he goes, hey Chuck, it's your cousin Marvin. You know that new sound you've been searching for? Listen to this. And he throws the phone over.
Holds it.
And yeah, it's so dumb. But yeah, that's a pretty fun thing.
So
Marvin Berry.
Chuck Berry stole it.
That's what they're suggesting. Mm. From Michael J. Fox, who had learnt the song from...
Yeah.
And they probably had to pay a lot of money to Chuck Berry's estate. Or his...
Yeah, true.
Royalties to his... use of his
wow.
song.
Anyway, so yeah, but I mean, I don't think I would have told you anything that a genuine Back to the Future nerd doesn't already know, but Because it's just one of those trilogies. I think a lot of them do, but it's built for nerds. It's just jam-packed with little Easter eggs.
I like that, though. It's cool.
And I just thought, how can I go through all this interesting stuff but suck any interest out of it?
I think it would have been...
And you did it again.
I think it would have been much more of a success if it had been called Spaceman from Pluto.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm sticking by the Schoenberg.
Yeah, I think Schoenberg... If he's on Twitter, we gotta
find
tweet him.
Sydney...
Spaceman from Pluto, we're on board.
Yeah.
We back you 100%. Yep. Well, maybe we could call the episode that.
Yes.
No, we would get zero downloads then, because no one would get the joke except for super nerds that already know the stuff.
Or they listen to it and they go, oh. But like, who would... Yeah, okay, no, don't do that.
Hey, you know that it's sweet that you think people are going to listen to this. I guess that's... Is that why we're doing
it? Yeah, that's not... Yeah.
I thought it was just a reason to hang out.
Well, if you did listen to this, you can now find us on Twitter at DoGoOnPod. Looks like DoGoonPod.
DoGoon. Down.
You can also email us if you'd like us to talk about your favourite thing or something you want to know about, which is DoGoOnPod, or one word, at gmail.com. Drop us a line, drop us a tweet, let Matt know that you enjoyed his backing to the future.
But that you enjoyed our impression of Sydney Schoenberg more.
Schoenberg! And tweet Schoenberg.
Yeah, cool. Let's wrap this bad boy up, Davo.
Well, thank you very much, Matt, for going on. Like I say, you can contact us via the tweets and the internet. Jess, you're going to be back with your report next episode.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
The life and times of Sydney Schoenberg.
Sydney Schoenberg. We're gonna really learn a lot about him.
Cool. Well.
Okay. Well, right. Good end there. Thank you so much, everyone.
Laters.
Bye. I love Sydney. I love him so much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.